Hare Krishna, everyone. So today, the topic is how to use time to make your life one with the mission of who? Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So meaning my wife and I, found the appropriate verse in the Bhagavatam. So this is from the third canto, 29th chapter, text 37. Rupa Vedas, Rupa Vedas Param Divyam, Kala Itya Abhidiyate. Bhutaram Maharajinam Yato Bina Drishambayam Rupa Vedas Param Divyam Kala Itya Vidyate Bhutanam Maharajinam Yato bina drishambayam Rupa vedas param divyam Kala itya vidyate Bhutanam maharajinam Yato bina drishambayam. Anyone want to recite? Rupa Vedas Padam Divyam Kala Itya Badiyate Bhutanam Maharajinam Tobina Drishambayam Rupa Vedas Padam Divyam Rupa Vedas Padam Divyam Kala Itya Badiyate Bhutanam Maharajinam Translation. The time factor who causes the transformation of the various material manifestations is another feature of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Anyone who does not know that time is the same Supreme Personality is afraid of the time factor. Purport. Everyone is afraid of the activities of time, but a devotee who knows that the time factor is another representation or manifestation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead has nothing to fear from the influence of time. The phrase Rupa Vedaspadam is very significant. By the influence of time, so many forms are changing. For example, when a child is born, his form is small. But in the course of time, that form changes into a larger form, the body of a boy, and then the body of a young man. Similarly, everything is changed and transformed by the time factor, or by the indirect control of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Usually we do not see any difference between the body of a child and the body of a boy or young man, because we know that these changes are due to the action of the time factor. There is no cause for fear for a person who does not know how time acts. There is cause for fear the last sentence reads, there is cause for fear for a person who does not know how time acts. Omigana timarandasya janandana shalakaya chakshuran militam jena tasmai shri gurave namaha shri chaitanya manovistam stapitam jena bhutale swayam rupa kadamayam dadati swapadantikam panchakalpatarubhyascha kripa sindubhya evacha paditanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. So here we're going to learn about people who are afraid of time and people who are fearless. And we're going to understand how the two types of people, how they use their time. And how, depending on how they use their, how, when the devotee uses his time, how that makes him fearless. And what is it that he needs to do to become fearless since the beginning of time and also today? And then we'll get into discuss practical, very practical aspects. Getting less philosophical, more practical, how to apply this knowledge of Dharma in our lives. Okay, so first looking at how time affects these two types of people. So we'll divide up the world very simplistically into two categories, which are the devotees and the non-devotees, the asuras and the asuras. So the asuras, the non-devotees, for them, they're afraid of time because everything good that they have in life or everything good that they're looking to have in life, it all gets taken away by time. So naturally, if they're like, naturally, since for them everything good is all that there is for them, since they're non-devotees, they don't have God in their life. So for them, when things get taken away, that's everything for them. So if everything is taken away, what's left? Nothing. But naturally, everyone, Ananda Maya Byasat, the soul is naturally seeking happiness. The soul is naturally a servant of God and full of, always is meant to be complete. So when the soul is left with nothing in its life, then naturally it's a state of despair. So time, ultimately for the non-devotee, leads to despair. And for the devotee, it's the opposite. For the devotee, whatever they get in this, for a pure devotee, things that the devotee accomplishes are actually provided by the Lord, because the devotee is engaged in Krishna karma rather than karma. So that means that while sometimes the devotee appears to be doing the same things that the non-devotee is doing, he's actually doing things for Krishna, and therefore Krishna is the one who's in his life directing everything. And so Krishna is providing for that devotee. So whatever things that the devotee has, they're actually opulences provided by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So nothing can be taken from the Lord. Whatever the Lord has is absolute. Therefore, anything that the Lord provides to his devotee, that also cannot be taken away by anyone or anything in this world. And therefore, time does not take away the devotee's opulences. And if you want a verse in the Bhagavad Gita, you might I'm a Hindi verses here. So in the Krishna says in the 9th chapter, text 22, he says, Ananyas chintayanto mam ye jana paryupasate. You missed that one. Tesham nitya biyuktanam yogukshemam bahamyam. So Krishna says, by those who always worship me with exclusive devotion, meditating on my transcendental form, to them I carry what they lack and I preserve what they have. So for the devotee, all the things that the devotee gets, they're there to help the devotee go back to the spiritual world. So the Lord says that whatever they lack, he's going to provide it for them, meaning whatever they need to go back to Godhead. And whatever they have, he'll preserve it. Therefore, Krishna is substantiating the point that time does not take away the devotee's transcendental opulences. So then we can, now let's move on to the next point. There's different ways that these two categories of persons in this world, how they use their time, right? So we all know what that is. So the sense gratifier is using his time day and night trying to enjoy his senses, which, as we just heard, leads only to, any pleasure that it leads to is only fleeting. And so what is the other category of person? How does he use his time? Well, there's the injunction, Atato Brahma Jigyasa. Now it is time to inquire into the Supreme Absolute Truth. So someone who's an intelligent class of person realizes that interaction between the senses and the sense objects doesn't lead to any lasting happiness. And therefore, since he knows that he's thinking, I want to be always happy, so he looks for a happiness that lasts longer. So he inquires. He sees everyone around me, they're only attaining temporary happiness, if at all. Therefore, I've got to inquire into some other source for how I can obtain happiness. So what source does he inquire into? The Supreme Absolute Truth, Atato Brahma Jigyasa. And one may say, well, I'm obtaining some pleasure right now in my youth, so why can't I just wait to inquire into the Supreme when I'm older and when my senses are less productive and are feeble? So King Yudhisthira Maharaj, he said, the most amazing thing in this world is that everyone around me, I see them dying, but I think that I'm not going to die. That's what people are thinking. So someone who's a little bit more conscious, thoughtful, they can't actually enjoy pleasure in the now if they know that coming up soon, that pleasure is going to end. And for someone who's thoughtful, even 40 years from now, that's soon, because time is flying. There's no security in pleasure, which doesn't last. That's obvious. So therefore, the intelligent person, he inquires into this, how can I actually become satisfied now? Does anyone know how to fix this microphone? Every time I try to fix it, it gets worse. But I have a loud voice. So. You've been here before. Okay. Oh, thanks, Prabhu. So I'll keep speaking while Jagadananda tries to solve this problem. So what happens? So then the next question is, thank you very much. So the next question then is, now we'll look at this higher category of living entities in this world. What happens when they do what they should do, which is Atato Brahma Jigyasa, inquire into the Supreme Absolute? What happens to them? Well, My own experience verifies what Shastra says. And when we talk about Shastra, we include the works of the Goswamis and our predecessor Acharya. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, Madhurya Kadambini, that the devotee of Krishna is the one who distributes Krishna's mercy to the non-devotees. And so it's probably happened to each and every one of us that a devotee, or it must have actually, that a devotee distributed us the holy name, Prabhupada's books, the philosophy contained therein. And in many of our experiences, if we think back, when we were sincerely wanting something beyond the experience that we see ourselves and everyone around us having, and we were wanting something more, for many of us, that's when the devotee arrived in our lives, respective lives. So the Lord reciprocates when the devotee, the intelligent person, inquires, how can I understand the absolute truth? How can I find God? The Lord sends his devotee to teach him the answer. So then the next question is, so what is it? What is it that this intelligent class of living entities learns when he meets the devotee? So this is, what is the absolute truth? So we know this. Jivera Srupoi Krishnara Nityadas. So the living entity is constitutionally a servant of Krishna. Krishna and the living entities in the spiritual world and the spiritual world itself, they're all beyond the control of time. Srila Prabhupada would say, the spiritual world, time is conspicuous by its absence. Meaning, time as we know it is not present there. What is the nature of this absolute truth? Krishna is all attractive, and he's by nature blissful beyond what we can imagine. The soul, as we said, is anandamaya abhyasat. The soul is naturally happy, seeking happiness. Because it's naturally happy, because it's a part and parcel of Krishna. So Krishna substantiates that in the Bhagavad Gita, Mamaivamso Jiva Loke Jiva Bhuta Sanatana, chapter 15, text 7. He also says, this is a nice verse, he says in chapter 4, text 35, it says 475. It's the wrong one. He says, chapter 4, text 35. This is right to the point, because if you remember chapter 4, text 34, Krishna there explains how one should approach the spiritual master and what the spiritual master will do. He'll initiate the soul into the truth. So the next verse that follows is giving you an idea of what that truth is. So there Krishna says, having obtained real knowledge from a self-realized soul, you will never fall again into such illusion. For by this knowledge, you will see that all living entities are a part of the Supreme, or in other words, that they are mine. So the living entity is a part and parcel of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Achintya Beda Beda Tattva. So Krishna is blissful, naturally the soul has the same quality. So this is the truth that the intelligent class of persons finds out about when he sincerely inquires into the Supreme. So then the next question is, how do we realize our relationship with the Supreme Lord? Or we can rephrase that, what is our dharma to engage in? So people have various ideas, various misconceptions of dharma. There's different dharmas, right? And the Manu Samhita provides dharma, different kinds of dharma. Any dharma prescribed in the Srimad Bhagavatam is the ultimate. Krishna explains the same thing in the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 18, text 66. He says, there's so many dharmas, but give them all up to surrender to me. So if you hear that something is dharma, and then you hear some philosophical explanation that doesn't speak of that kind of dharma in exalted terms, that's not inconsistent necessarily with what Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita. So there's different kinds of dharma. So what kind of dharma should we do to realize the absolute truth, to realize our eternal relationship with Krishna? He is the Supreme Lord and us is his part and parcel. So we have the different varnas and the ashrams. So if we follow varna ashram dharma, will this help us realize the Supreme Absolute Truth? That can help us to realize the Supreme Absolute Truth. In and of itself, varna and ashrams help us to understand our duties according to the different conditionings we have, so we can improve the condition of our body and mind. It's meant so that we can improve the character of our body and mind so that it's more suitable to be engaged in devotional service. In and of itself, varnashram dharma, no matter how well we engage in it, is like so many zeros without the one, which is Krishna being put in front of it, which makes it worth so much. So what do we need to do? So material activities, they will not get us to Krishna. So the sense gratification, which is what the first class of people use time to engage in, that will not help us realize the absolute truth. Spiritual activities. So manmana bhava madbhakto madhyaji mam namaskuru, chapter 9, text 34. Always thinking of Krishna, offering obeisances to him, remembering the Supreme Lord. This is the goal of life. Krishna says, bhakti mam abhijanati yavanyas chasmi tatvata tato. Krishna says, one can understand me as I am only by devotional service. So if we think of the Lord, if we engage in his service, then we'll actually be able to understand the Lord. And Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 8, text 5, that if you remember the Lord at the time of death, then you won't take birth in this world again, you'll go back to him. And whoever at the end of his life quits his body, remembering me alone, at once attains my nature. Of this there is no doubt. So, spiritual activities, meaning devotional service to the Lord, will help us to think of the Lord, to know the Lord, and if we know the Lord, we will go to the spiritual world at the time of death. So that is what we need to do to realize the truth that we find out when we inquire into the absolute truth. So then the question is, what type of spiritual dharma should we engage in to realize the absolute truth? Prahlad Maharaj says, Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu Smaranam Padasevanam Archanam Vandanam Dasyam Sakyam Atmanivedana. Hearing and chanting about the glories of the Lord, remembering the glories of the Lord, serving the lotus feet of the Lord, prayer to the Lord, deity worship, becoming the Lord's servant, becoming the Lord's friend, surrendering everything to the Lord. So these are ways, according to the Lord's pure devotee in the Srimad Bhagavatam, that we can engage in devotional service to the Lord and understand the Lord. And Srila Prabhupada, in a letter to a disciple in 1968, he says something that echoes what Prahlad Maharaj said. In the transcendental loving service of the Lord, it does not matter whether we are working, cooking, painting, writing, chanting, or whatever. They are all the same. There are no such distinctions of higher and lower on the transcendental platform. The important thing is that we are engaging our time and energy in the service of the Lord. After all, we are tiny, What can we do? Krishna sees simply that this time is being spent in his service. So there, Srila Prabhupada is saying that if you just use your time in the Lord's service, doing any kind of service, whether it's cooking for the Lord, writing about the Lord, chanting in kirtan, all of these things, the list goes on. That will be pleasing to the Lord, it will help you remember the Lord, and if you continue with it, you'll go back to the spiritual world at the time of death. So we understand from Rupa Goswami the principle of Yukta Vairagya, which is that everything belongs to Krishna, therefore we should use all things, including material things, in the Lord's service. So this is how we practically in our daily life engage in the Lord's service. So the basic way that we can understand this, for most of us, I don't see anyone in here wearing saffron at the moment, so I can assume that all of us have a job, live with someone, or are married to someone who has a job, or will soon have a job if we don't already. So, but if our home is a temple, we have deities who preside there, if we serve prasadam at our homes, if we chant Hare Krishna in our spare time, then our jobs of those in our family, they facilitate this Krishna conscious lifestyle that we have and our family members can have. And we can use Lakshmi that we earn from our business work to support temples, to help preaching projects go on, to print books, and so forth and so on. And like one devotee was telling me, his name is Patrika, he was saying he has a very large garden, and for the deities, Krishore Kishore in Chicago, in the summer he has so many flowers that he's growing there, and he provides to the deities there. So there's so many ways we can engage material things in the Lord's service. So there are so many ways to engage so many different types of things we can do in the Lord's service. So of all these different types of spiritual dharma, what should we focus on? So we all know the answer to that, right? Everyone knows the answer. Yes? What is it? Chanting and hearing. Under what circumstances? In the association of devotees, and also the non-devotees too, even better. But it's certainly in the association of devotees. So what is scripture? So Sankirtan Yajna, the congregational, sun means together with, kirtan, hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord, either the holy name or the scripture. This is kirtan. So this is what's prescribed for today. Two ways that we can verify that that's a fact. From scripture and from the acharya's activities and teachings. So the Brihadaranyaka Purana says, Harirnama, Harirnama, Harirnama eva kevalam, kalo nastiv, nastiv, nastiv gatiranyata. So in this age of Kali, the means to obtain liberation in this age is chant the holy name, chant the holy name, chant the holy name. There is no other way, there is no other way, there is no other way. Then in the Bhagavatam, the 11th canto, Krishna, Tisha Krishnam, Krishnam, Sangopangastra Parshadam, Yagyai Sankirtana Prayer, Yajanti Sumedasa. Those who are intelligent, they worship the Lord who has a golden complexion and who sings the names of Krishna by congregationally chanting the holy name of the Lord. The Lord comes with his companions, associates, instruments. And then Krishna says, chapter 18, text 69. Should be here. For one who explains this supreme secret to the devotees, pure devotional is guaranteed, and at the end he will come back to me. There is no servant in this world more dear to me than he, nor will there ever be one more dear. And in the purport to 1868, Srila Prabhupada says that a devotee will share this with everyone, not just his devotees. It's the sophisticated or the higher understanding of that verse. And then Krishna also says in the Bhagavad Gita, and that's not, so what Krishna is saying in the Bhagavad Gita, it's not directed just towards people in Kali Yuga, but for all times. After all, Krishna originally told this to Vivasvan so long ago, the sun god. So Satyatam Kirtayantomam, the great souls, they're always chanting the glories of the Lord. And what are the, so, okay, so the scripture makes clear in Kali Yuga, chanting the holy name together with others is the means to achieve perfection, is the means to understand the absolute truth. So then let's look at the activities of the acharyas. Well, we can actually look at the activities of the Lord himself, who is not just an acharya, he's the Lord. Like Lord Nityananda was going door to door asking people to take the holy name. Bhaktivinoda Thakur was a prolific writer, and he was also, just like you and me, he was working at his job in a very prestigious position, and he didn't sleep much because he was so devoted to Krishna. Like Rompad Swami was saying, when you're very Krishna conscious, then you can do more and more for Krishna despite the limits that time apparently will place on our ability to accomplish things. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur had thousands and thousands of disciples, and they're spreading the holy name, following Lord Chaitanya's footsteps, chanting the holy name all across India. Then Srila Prabhupada, against all odds, he came to the U.S., following the instructions of his spiritual master to spread these teachings in the Western world. So this is the Dharma. This is the Yuga Dharma. It's to spread the holy name and to spread Srila Prabhupada's books, which he said are the law books for the next 10,000 years, to people all around the world. This is the means, the primary means, that we can achieve self-realization. This is the mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This is the mission of our founder, Acharya. Srila Prabhupada, and sometimes we may wonder, how important is it to them? How important is it to Srila Prabhupada? But we must have heard the experience of Srila Prabhupada before he had come to the Western world in India, and he was publishing Back to Godhead magazines, and he would distribute them on the streets of India. And on an occasion he fainted in the heat. Another occasion he was gored by a bull or cow. So, his determination to keep on distributing the knowledge that he received from his spiritual master, it never flagged. Because he knew this is what the Lord wanted him to do, to show mankind how to achieve self-realization. So if Srila Prabhupada can do it, that means we can do it. We should do it too. I mean, what I mean to say is, if we find there's some austerity involved in reaching out to other people to share the holy name or Srila Prabhupada's philosophy, his books, if we think there's, it's hard to do that because I don't know so much, or I don't know how to talk to these people, or I'm from a different culture, or I don't have much time, or what little time I have, I need to use it to maintain the subsistence of my family, etc., etc. But look at how much our spiritual master Srila Prabhupada, what endeavor he would take to accomplish the mission of his spiritual master. He gave up his health. He risked his life on multiple occasions. He came to the West to give you and me Krishna consciousness and suffered heart attacks. So if we find it a bit of a hardship to follow this means of self-realization, then all we have to think is, well, but our spiritual master did it. Shouldn't we try to follow in his footsteps? Because after all, normally our mood is the opposite our mood is, let me save my spiritual master or my respected elders from engaging in austerities. Let me make them more comfortable in their devotional service, right? When our guru or respective guru is present, we want to serve him, provide him a place to stay, a place to sit, wash something, cook, give him kartals, because we want things to go easy for him. And God forbid that, you know, we thought our spiritual master could get hurt, we should jump in the way to prevent him from getting hurt. If someone's charging at our spiritual master, we should jump in the way and let ourselves get hurt rather than our spiritual master. And yet, our Shiksha Guru, our ultimate guru, Srila Prabhupada, the founder of Acharya of ISKCON, he risked his life to spread Krishna consciousness. So we should try to stand in the way of Srila Prabhupada when the bull is running at him, so he doesn't get gored. We should protect him. But Srila Prabhupada wants this to happen. So we should try to help Srila Prabhupada. So then the question is, why is the Sankirtan Yajna effective in this day and age? Well, there's a nice verse describing the qualities of people in Kali Yuga. Prayena payusha sabya kalavasmi nyuge janab manda sumanda matayo manda bhagya yupadruta. In this iron age of Kali, men have short lives. They are quarrelsome, lazy, misguided, unlucky, and above all, always disturbed. So there's not much time to live in this life. It may seem like a while to us, especially if we're little, but actually time is flying. And there's so much trouble. The mind is so easily disturbed. And we're not very skilled at much. Kala, Shudra, Sambhava, everyone's born Shudra in this age, no matter how we might think of ourselves. But so, well, except for those in this exalted audience, they're now Vaishnavas, which is more than Brahmins. But at the same time, we can understand that the holy name was given by the Lord to us because it's so effective that no matter how unqualified or qualified we are, the holy name is so simple to chant. Intellect is not required, physical strength or dexterity, it's not relevant. All you need to do is just take the holy name, listen, and repeat it. And do it with someone else, or with many others. So the Lord provided this as the means to achieve self-realization. So now we can consider, how does this Sankirtan Yajna, how does the process work? How does it actually work? What are the mechanics of it? Now this is very interesting. Who here has done Sankirtan Yajna in a setting which includes non-devotees? Sankirtan Yajna means book distribution and or kirtan. So I see about 75% or so. 85, yeah. So was it a nice experience? Is it a nice experience for everyone? Donna Healy, it's her life, right? So the Sankirtan Yajna is especially potent, more potent than japa. Japa, has anyone ever struggle with chanting japa? So you don't have to raise your hand. But the Sankirtan Yajna is more potent. For A, because you're doing it in the association of devotees. So you can take on their enthusiasm, you can catch their calling out to the Lord, and you can feel the Lord's presence due to their fervent calling out to the Lord. But there's another reason why the Sankirtan Yajna is especially potent. So if you're out in a place that's not your own, a public location, and there's people there whom you've never met, and who've also never encountered the devotees of the Lord, or they don't know who the Lord is, they don't know really who the Lord is, they don't necessarily accept Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So for them, what do they think of when they see the devotees? What do they think? Oh, they're just another religion, and at that, you know, something kind of religion. Or, you know, maybe they've heard some philosophy. Oh, they've got their philosophy, and here's this philosophy, here's this one, and here's that one. Or, oh, they dress this way, but it's not really that's not my kind of fashion. Or, you know, or they're, you know, are they're white people who've taken on Indian religion, or they're Indian people taking on Indian religion, like so many here. So they may be thinking that way. So what is that? That's just a mental concoction. It's just, you know, like something going through the brain, just perceiving something that one doesn't understand based on one's own experiences that don't include Krishna consciousness. So it's thinking it's just another ism, another material thing. So how is this person going to take up Krishna consciousness if to them Krishna consciousness is just another material thing like any other thing, and they've deliberately chosen in their life to go after things other than Krishna consciousness? What's going to inspire them to take up Krishna consciousness? You can't just convince them, like, well, this material Krishna consciousness is better than that material thing that you're into. That's not going to work, because they've already chosen their material thing. So they need to have a spiritual experience. They need to have a transcendental experience. They need to have an experience which goes beyond the way that they mentally perceive Krishna consciousness, the way that they perceive Krishna consciousness within the context of their material vision of everything in this world. They need to have an experience which rises above that. So to share Krishna consciousness with others, one needs to give the others a transcendental experience. But that's not possible by our own means, is it? How can I give someone a spiritual experience? So, Kali Kalera Dharma Krishna Nama Sankirtan Krishna Shakti Vina Nahitara Pravartana. So the preaching of Krishna consciousness only happens by the empowerment of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So when a devotee is chanting the holy name, distributing Srila Prabhupada's books, which Prabhupada calls the Brihat Mridanga, the Great Mridanga, it's only possible because Krishna is doing it. Krishna is making that happen. So So that the living entity who's engaged in the devotional service to share Krishna consciousness with others, he's not making it happen, or she's not making it happen, but the Supreme Lord can make it happen. Now, when we're sharing Krishna consciousness, still the question is, why can't I just chant japa in my closet? Or in your room? Because for that too, you need to have a spiritual experience. Krishna needs to, you're chanting to experience the holy name, how it's non-different from Krishna. The difference is that if you're engaged in Sankirtan Yoga, trying to convince a conditioned soul that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that person doesn't accept that Krishna is the Supreme Lord upon your meeting him. Whereas when you're chanting japa in the closet, you accept it, but you may not care sufficiently, but you accept it. So for you, you're not even trying. You, unfortunately, if we're not chanting offenselessly, then we may not be trying to have a spiritual experience. That's exactly why we need to go on Sankirtan Yajna, to engage in Sankirtan Yajna. Because the conditioned soul, he will not accept your bidding for him to take Krishna consciousness unless he has a transcendental experience. And therefore, when you engage in Sankirtan Yajna, you will be a failure in front of the public unless they get the experience of Krishna. And therefore, devotees who engage in Sankirtan Yajna, they pray like anything to get the mercy of the Supreme Lord. Because who wants to fail? And fine, if I'm chanting my japa in my closet, I'm a private failure. But in public? Maybe I can be a public failure for one day. But day after day after day, if you're a grihastha, maybe, week after week or month after month, if you're a brahmachari, day in, day out, being a public failure, that's no fun. So therefore, the devotee prays fervently, please, O Lord, let this person accept my gift of the holy name of Srila Prabhupada's books. And by the devotee's prayer, the Supreme Lord may appear there. Even the devotee is sometime may engage in Sankirtan Yajna indifferently. But still, sometimes the Supreme Lord, even his devotee may be complacent. But the Supreme Lord, sometimes he really wants this stranger to take up Krishna consciousness. And sometimes the devotee is not fully surrendered. But still, Krishna appears through that devotee to reach out to the conditioned soul. And then the devotee experiences Krishna because Krishna is appearing in order to reach out to the conditioned soul. So nimitta matra savya sachin. Krishna asked Arjuna to be but his instrument, the instrument of his will. So Krishna's will is to share Krishna consciousness with the conditioned soul. So you can think of it like an open-ended vessel. And that vessel is the devotee. At one end of the vessel is the conditioned soul. At the other end is Krishna. So in order for Krishna to reach the conditioned soul, Krishna goes through the vessel. If the devotee is the vessel, then the devotee incidentally experiences Krishna in his complete form with all his opulences in order to reach out to the conditioned soul. And thus the devotee can get great experiences of who the Supreme Personality of Godhead is, how he is the Absolute Truth, merely because he's reaching out to the conditioned souls. And therefore, this is the most effective means to achieve self-realization in Kali Yuga. So, who can engage in Sankirtan Yajna? Does anyone have an idea? Everyone? Why? Qualification is being in a human body. Even the dogs. I heard there's, Vaisheshika's Prabhu is saying is they have this dog even distributing Srila Prabhupada's books. It's generally a human being, though. Yeah. So, So there's no qualification required. No material qualification, that is. But devotees have these ideas, well, I have my service, you have your service, they have their service. Actually, everyone's service is to engage in Sankirtan Yajna. Now, some of us, we may devote more of our time reserved for seva, for Sankirtan, and others may support that. But nonetheless, the mission is what it is. It's to spread Krishna consciousness to everyone around the world. And there's no qualification because there's no material disqualification because the qualification is simply that you ask for Krishna's mercy and you give it to others. So you may be a shy person, you may be gregarious. It doesn't matter. Both are qualified. You may be someone who's tone deaf. You may be someone who sings beautifully. It doesn't matter. Doesn't matter if you're a bad or good musician. Everyone can do it. I think, is it Bhakti Siddhanta, one of his disciples? Yeah, he would have one of his disciples who didn't sing, you know, with material skill. And he would have him lead kirtan in front of everyone just to make that point. These things don't matter. What matters the most? Devotion. Devotion to Krishna. Hare Krishna. Devotion to Krishna is what matters the most. This is what matters the most. What are the symptoms of a devotee who is fully engaged in Sankirtan? Well, a devotee who is constantly experiencing the Supreme Lord as he's engaged in Sankirtan, he's experiencing the Lord a lot. And so it makes him really, really happy. Better than any intoxication. Better than any material combination of the senses and the sense objects. So it's addictive. And therefore you'll see devotees who love to engage in Sankirtan through kirtan or through book distribution. They can't stop. Like we used to go out on Sankirtan when we're brahmacharis, and it'd be late, you know, the day is supposed to be over, but no, one more book, like the addicted child with his, you know, his latest video game, whatever it is, you know, one more time, dad, I want to play one more, but with the door, you can't stop distributing books, it's so ecstatic. So then how does that affect his qualities? An ecstatic Sankirtan devotee, he's a Madhyama Adhikari. He's acting on that platform. He's rising to that platform. If he keeps on going, he is on that platform. Because he has to be steady. Why will he be steady? Because it's so ecstatic to engage in Sankirtan that he wants to act according to the verse Trinadapi Sunichina Tori Vasishana Amanida Amanadena Kirtaniya Sadahari. He wants to be more humble than the tree. He wants to be more humble than a blade of grass, more tolerant than a tree, ready to accept disrespect from others, not needing he'll offer respect to others. Doesn't matter. Because he wants to engage in Sankirtan. That's why. Because he gets such a transcendental ecstasy from it that he's willing to take whatever material inconveniences come his way. And the last point, we started a little late, but a few minutes left. So then how do you prepare to go on Sankirtan? Then any quick discussion. How do you prepare to go on Sankirtan? Anyone have ideas? Good sadhana, yeah. And ideally not just the day of you're going on Sankirtan, but like over the long run, because good sadhana chanting your 16 rounds nicely, reading Prabhupada's books carefully, that creates a lasting effect in your, a lasting samskara, and your mind gets purified, your consciousness is purified. So then when you go on Sangirtan, you can deal with surprises, bad weather, bad people, stolen books, what else? Thrown out of your Sangirtan location, even if you're being thrown out, it's a violation of the law. Could be arrested. It's happened to many of us. Having a nice relationship with the devotees. The more that you become advanced, you realize you just want the mercy of the devotees to help you engage in Sangirtan. And you need to plan in advance. So if it's better than just to go in Sangirtan yourself, if it's book distribution or with one other person, try to get others. Your personal results may be less, but when other people are engaged, then you get the credit. So organize others. For book distribution, you have to buy the books. That's what Vaisheshika Prabhu would say. You need to get the books. That's the most important part of planning. Have the books, then you can go out and distribute them. Distributing them is easy. So with that, I'll just summarize, and then a little discussion can follow. So we talked about two classes of people. How they use time. One for sense gratification. One to inquire about the absolute truth, how to go beyond temporary sense gratification. We talked about how time also is affecting these two types of people. Then we talked about what is the absolute truth that those who inquire into the Supreme, what they learn when they inquire, how they learn it. What types of activities can lead you to understand the absolute truth? Spiritual activities versus material activities. Then we learn different types of spiritual activities as prescribed in scripture in general. Then we looked at, particularly today, what does scripture say is meant for today in Kali Yuga. Then we looked at our acharyas and the Supreme Lord. What did they do to show us the path of self-realization? And we looked at why is Sankirtan Yajna the most effective means to achieve self-realization in this day and age. And then we talked about how it works, who's qualified to do it, what are the symptoms of a fixed up Sankirtan devotee, and how you need to prepare yourself to be a Sankirtan devotee. So there's about 3 minutes left. We started about 7 minutes late, so maybe just a few minutes of so it's about 8 minutes there. Any discussion? Question? Comment? Connie? Mm-hmm. Oh. Connie asked about what is this age of Kali? So there's different ages. In this material world, there's a cycle of four ages, beginning with one that's called Satya Yuga, where people live longer and are more peaceful and things are nicer. And then people live less long in each age, and they live less peaceful in each age. So that the ages are called Satya Yuga, Treta Yuga, Dwapara Yuga, and Kali Yuga. And Kali Yuga is the worst of them. That's our age, which just began, and it's only getting worse. The age lasts for 432,000 years. And we read a verse about people in this age are lazy, misguided, unlucky, short-lived, misguided, and above all, always disturbed. And therefore, for this age, the Sankirtan Yajna, the chanting of the holy name in the association of devotees, and especially reaching out to non-devotees, is the prescribed means to achieve self-realization in this age. Because it's fast and it's easy, and even for the disturbed mind, it's not a problem. Yes, Mataji, what's your name? What? Okay. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji. My question is towards, like, when you try to go doing book distribution, do you always know every book that you distribute, or do you not distribute books that you did not read before?
And you're referring to Srila Prabhupada's books.
Yes.
That's a given.
Yeah.
So it's fine. Yeah, because if I don't know who the author is, but if I know it's Srila Prabhupada who wrote it, I'm fine. I'll distribute anything. But I read all of Prabhupada's books several times, so for me that's not relevant. But many years ago, I suppose, there were times when I distributed books that I wasn't so... Yeah, there was one book, I distributed thousands of them. It's called A Second Chance, and I hadn't read it yet. But naturally, if you start distributing, you want to read it, you know. So I read it, and then when I read it, I felt better about distributing it, because I had some unique things to say about that book that made it more encouraging for others to want to get it from me. So it's nice to read it too. But in general, reading any of Prabhupada's books, they all contain the absolute truth. They're all perfect. You can distribute any of them, and it's our spiritual master wants us to do that. But we should read them.
Thank you, Prabhupada.
Hare Krishna. Ramananda ji. Hare Krishna. Wait, in the mic.
Suppose someone is going to the book distribution and sankirtans, and then there is a gap, and after that there is a fear to go to the public again. So how to remove that one, and what can be done?
Yeah. Just ignore your mind and just do it. and do it with other devotees. Do it with other devotees makes it easier. But you know, sometimes doing something on a regular basis, even the mind gets fearful, there's no room for the fear because you do it regularly.
Yes.
So if you don't do it regularly, it's harder. But therefore it makes it easy when we get together with other devotees, especially if you're Grihastha who doesn't go out regularly. It makes it a little easier when you get together with other devotees. But still, if you have good sadhana and you're enthusiastic and you actually understand what Prabhupada's books say, then nothing will ever stop you from going on Sankirtan. Because if you actually understand what these books say, you know, we can read the books like a dull-headed. But if we actually read these books, you read one sentence of this, and it should make you cry, and you want to distribute books to other people, because they're all in a burning house, figuratively speaking. And that's a fact. It's worse than a burning house, because they're going to take birth again in a body, and it's like a repeating burning house. Someone who is in a burning house, they've got it much better than people in this material world. Because they're in a burning house that burns only once, that's it. But in this material world, it's burning again and again and again. So we should understand these books, and we should understand why Srila Prabhupada wanted us to share them. So if you understand it, then this fear will go away, because that's just like we're thinking about ourselves, kind of. We're lost in our mind, kind of, you know. But if we actually understand this, then we rise above these mental concoctions, and we want to help other people. And sometimes it's a little bit hard, but then you just think, well, look what Srila Prabhupada went through. Why should I worry about myself? Why should I, oh, it's raining out? Or, you know, oh, I used to go out in a blizzard, I remember, in Boston. There's a blizzard. There's no one on the street. No one at all. No one. There, one person walked by every 10, 15 minutes. But I tell you this, every single person who walked by me, they went home with a hardcover of Prabhupada's book, because they didn't know what the heck I was doing there. I had this super, like, golf, one of those big umbrellas, whatever it's called, golf umbrella, and I had all the equipment my mom would give me as a brahmachari, super thick, warm boots, and multiple layers of long underwears, and sweaters, and huge, thick coat, and I didn't care about the weather, and I knew this is my duty. I mean, matra sparsha stukonteyo shitoshna suka dukada, right? I mean, it's the ABCs of Bhagavad Gita, be detached from pleasure and pain and good weather and bad weather. So I distribute books anyway, and then people take it when you're fixed like that, because they're like, wow, who is this person? Everyone else that the stranger is thinking, everyone else I've ever met in my life, they like good things and they're averse to bad things. And here this person, he's embracing the worst things that you can imagine. So he must have, and yet he's happy. So there must be something special about it. Let me take it from him. So we're 5 minutes over. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Sankirtan Yajna ki jai.